Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, how to respond to a grievance, part 4 of 4. The questions this cast answers are, what is a grievance? What are the typical steps in a grievance process? And what should I do to defend myself from a grievance against me? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
For organizations where English may not be the first language of preference, we can offer our virtual training in your language of choice, with real-time translation during the sessions and ability to ask questions in your native language. You can receive the Manager Tools effective guidance that suits your audience. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more about our offering and our pricing.
So that brings us to our final section of our guidance around grievances. Don't assume confidentiality or fairness.
Right. And, you know, I said earlier about responding to the process, that was my favorite part because we got to talk about defending yourself and the need for doing it politely, but also recognizing the risk and not walking in there thinking you're having a conversation and we just want to clear up a few things or gather a few facts or please relax and so on, and the ability to present your own case when you're done answering questions and so on. But this one is very close to being as important because when people say people's salaries are confidential, it's not like managers go around telling everybody how much everybody else makes. That's generally respected, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with confidentiality, of course, is some people inflate their salary and when they tell other people, and believe me, if somebody else is telling you their salary, they're lying. But there are so many places where confidentiality or fairness can be somewhat assumed. And we wouldn't want you to make that mistake here because you can't assume it. So we've already made the point about the adversarial nature and your need for self-protection, but we really have to dig a little further into this because you're going to be told that the grievance process or complaint resolution process is confidential. And folks, that's utter hogwash. Do not believe it for one second. What's more, in my opinion, in our opinion, it's borderline unethical because confidentiality lends a veneer of respectability and gravitas to this process, and it's not deserved for the process being handled by people who are rarely trained in it and essentially are in a position of moral hazard where a decision they make won't hurt them at all but might hurt someone else. And the chain of leadership in your organization will not respect it while telling you, because they're representatives of the company and the company is obligated to provide a confidential and fair process, they will say, no, it's confidential while working behind the scenes, which again, I find a little amoral as well.
Especially given the fact that human nature in this process, the person who feels that they have been treated poorly, is likely to have been talking about it. Even if prior to the process, which we're going to talk about the confidentiality around the process, right? And chain of leadership and
all
that.
Yeah, that's a great point, dude.
Really, truly, though, the idea that somebody would get to this point without having discussed it with their friends, and then,
exactly,
of course, that those friends would have discussed it with,
exactly,
other people.
Because it's drama. What gets shared first? Drama. Oh my gosh, did you hear?
It's the juiciest form of gossip that could be around.
Yeah, because there's risk for somebody.
Yeah. The tendency of this person not to speak to the person who they feel has harmed them, instead to go through a process, barring a situation where somebody actually did something,
right,
that this process would support. Right?
Right.
Like something actually bad happened, an actual open door policy issue. Those situations aside, there's really just such a small chance that this isn't the juiciest type of gossip prior to it going into the process. Of course, this is not without its own rumor mill.
Yeah.
Before we even get here.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. You got that. And now, you'll be told it's confidential. And as a manager, you have been exposed to more confidentiality stuff. So you'll generally try to abide by that. But there's also some confidentiality risk relative to the HR person who's doing this. And again, nothing against HR, but if an exec asks a question, by the way, the execs in the chain of leadership, he or she knows that this is a confidential process, and they ask a question about it, and maybe they're throwing their weight around, maybe they're not, and then they're responded to by the HR person saying, hey, I really can't comment on it. This is a grievance process. It's confidential. The fact is, because everybody knows they're not, that HR person could end up being shut out of a later discussion regarding future workforce planning or whether or not they're ready for a promotion, ready now or ready next. And literally, I know a story of an executive who, after he was told from the union that one of his managers was being grieved, and he went to the HR person and said, hey, look, can you tell me what's going on, at least at a high level? She said, I'm sorry, this is confidential. He says, well, why then is the union steward talking about it? And you're going to allow him to talk to you outside, not in camera, literally the opposite of in camera, not in your office. In fact, it ended up being an email about a confidential process, really idiotic. And she described that she felt obligated to keep up good relationships with union steward. And the executive that I was talking to said, apparently you don't think that it's valuable for you to keep up good relationships with me. So then the HR person shared a snippet, not a juicy snippet, but a snippet. And then the next thing you know, the executive found out there was much more going on. The HR person basically threw him a bone and implied that that was useful information. And it clearly was not. It was almost de minimis relative to the overall proceedings. And so the exec retaliated later and said, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't want you in this meeting about this layoff. And when she came back to him later, she says, you know, I should have been there. He says, no, I don't trust you. I can't trust your level of confidentiality. You say you want confidentiality. You want me to respect confidentiality, but then you're having non-confidential discussions with union stewards, and they're telling me about it. And to be fair, the exec ought not to be pressuring the interviewer, but it is done, however clumsy it might appear. And if you're a top-performing manager, in light of the fact that this process is stated to be confidential, but in fact really isn't, it's de jure by the law confidential, mm-hmm. but de facto it's not, you'd want an exec going over and saying, hey, look, this is my best person. I'll be paying very close attention to this. And it just, again, this entire conversation outside of the principles it's not just annoying. It's not just unprofessional. It's ugly, frankly.
For me, for us, it's a return to our very fundamental guidance of there are no secrets.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And one of Horstmann's laws, right?
Yeah.
Great example. Ask yourself, how confidential most employees think the preparations for a layoff are?
Oh, totally. Generally people are trying to figure it out, and everyone knows that's confidential.
And in actuality, haven't we all, in organizations where we have worked, heard rumors well in advance of and then frequently during a process?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Yell confidently from the rooftops as much as you want, but behavior is what rules. And since politics exist, and there's access to be ground and favors yes. owed, agendas to be furthered, and inherent human selfishness, and sometimes I would suggest simple misunderstanding of how sure. crucial it is for these things to be private
totally
and confidential, yeah. leaks will occur.
Yeah.
They do.
And, it's yeah, that's
part of
right.
It's human nature.
Yeah, yeah. And if leaks occur, they will follow the Swiss cheese confidentiality rule. And that is, there will be leaks. The more confidentiality is stressed, the greater the leaks. And the leaks will favor the person with the inside information more than they favor either the information seeker or the parties to a process. The leaks will favor the person with the inside information. People don't leak stuff unless they believe it's beneficial to them in terms of relationships, in terms of being the center of gossip or whatever. What that means is you'll hear leaks and you'll think it'll be negative or positive for you when in fact it may be very different, because the reason the leak is in the wild is because somebody else benefited from sharing the leak.
It's a reason to be suspicious of any leaks. It is also, I would suggest, just the fact that someone is sharing something with you that is confidential or secret. Anytime anybody's doing that, you have to ask yourself how much of that is the human nature of wanting to be seen as someone with information.
Yes.
I am constantly shocked. I don't have a huge penchant for secrets in terms of wanting to know them. It rarely occurs to me. I am shocked at how often I encounter other people wanting to know things. People want to know secret things. It's not a tendency I have.
Yeah.
But they do. And then they want to tell.
Oh.
Because then.
Yes.
And I have to assume that's the secondary bit of it. That, like, why would you need this information if you weren't going to tell it to somebody? Which, of course,
right,
negates the entire purpose.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised when you hear things in the grievance process from others, not part of the process,
yeah,
external, whether they heard it before the process got started or in the middle. But before you get angry about it, though we would suggest that is justified to feel that way, you hearing about leaks is good.
Yeah.
Why?
Why though?
Well, because first, since you know there are going to be leaks, you might as well know what they are. So you have
good
an
point.
Opportunity to gather information. And we must always assume around all corporate processes that are du jour labeled confidential will, again, de facto not be.
Exactly.
So there's an opportunity for us to gather information. It also means that if you're hearing nothing, your accuser is, which doesn't help you at all.
Right, exactly.
So any leak to you is beneficial in that there's information gathering.
Yeah. And another thing, if in any way the tribunal, the interview, the investigation, the discussion, the chat, the sit down, if it goes against you at all, even if you're found to not have done anything objectionable, but perhaps you're asked to come up with your own private developmental plan to address this in the future, which I find disgusting. Wait a minute, you're saying I didn't do anything wrong, but you still want me to develop myself? Yeah, I wonder what you're telling the other guy who spent a whole bunch of the company's money and time figuring out that I didn't do anything wrong. But if it goes against you in any way, shape, or form, you can impeach the process by sharing details anonymously that were shared with you. So, for instance, it would be totally fine and appropriate to share with the interviewer something like this. I'd like you to make a note for the record that despite your invitation to this meeting describing this process as confidential, the following comments have been shared with me by people other than the initiator of this grievance or complaint or yourself. And as far as I understand, those are the only two parties to this process. And if you decided you wanted to go further, you could say, in the event there are any sanctions or corrective actions that I'm obligated to abide by or undertake because of this process, I certainly consider, you know, that my first thought is, yes, I'll abide by those, but I will also consider an appeal based on the process's lack of respect for its own standards, in this case of confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I advised a client to do that. Oh, it's been 23 years. No, it was during manager tools time. So it was 19 years ago or less. And he got a shocked look from the HR person. Says, is this a threat? He said, no, it's not a threat. I went and looked at the process. I'm entitled to an appeal. I think part of my appeal should include how well the process was run. And of course, from the HR person's perspective, it was run by him.
Yeah. So of course, that feels like a personal issue. And frankly, it is personal.
Yeah.
So the fact that the HR person might have some feelings about it being personal is interesting.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I would suggest fair. And so let's talk about fairness. All grievance procedures claim that the goal is fairness. But we have seen several processes where the identity of the initiator of the process is protected because of fear of retribution. This literally implies the assumption of retribution by you without the process coming to a conclusion.
Holy moly.
Just a foregone conclusion that you're the problem. So again, another brush with which you've been painted as guilty prior to the process. There's no assumption of innocence here. You are assumed guilty from the start. While you might not see the complainant in your interview, and why would you? You didn't get to be there for their interview.
Right.
This assumes an inherent truthfulness to their accusations. And there are very few first world legal or even quasi-judicial processes
exactly
that don't allow for the accused to be able to confront their accuser.
Yeah.
Y'all, if you spend any time reading online, you know, anonymity does not lead to truthfulness and candor. You know,
it just doesn't.
Comments just doesn't. On the internet would be a great example of that.
Yeah, exactly. And look, guys, your interviewer will have a great deal of power to decide what happened, even though they weren't there. By the way, most people don't realize this. Juries, not that this is a jury, but it's quasi-judicial in a way, because there are there are negative implications for you. Juries don't decide what happened. They only decide guilt or innocence. And in fact, there are several famous cases where juries decided or said they guilty or not guilty. And they say, well, yeah, he clearly did it, but he was also not guilty, right?
Burden of proof.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's interesting here, isn't it, that this process is leveraging essentially legal ramifications without associating itself in any way with legal proceedings.
Yeah. In fact, imagine a prosecutor. It's just like the police officers in police procedural dramas that say, come on in, sit down. We're just going to have a chat. We'll clear this whole thing up. And it's personally risky to do that. And people say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, so I should have no problem. As we stated earlier about the tone and tenor of your investigator. So your investigator will very likely not be well enough acquainted with you to compare your character and truthfulness to your complainants, nor will they lose much sleep if any action is taken against you. And sadly, in some cases, their career is going to be enhanced by showing that they gave employees the ability to, as the phrase is popular, speak truth to power. But unfortunately, guys, this is a perversion of the principles inherent in the process. But as Kate was saying a few minutes ago, never argue with the component of selfishness in human behavior.
We are familiar with far too many cases of fair grievances that led to light slaps on the wrist for the manager, which caused the complainant to feel that they won.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And of course, because that's what we're doing here, winning and losing.
Right, exactly.
And it's hard for me to imagine how toxic a work environment would have to be in order to believe some of the things that I've heard about this process being true. Right? I mean, the accusers, sometimes the things that they've said are so negative and for a group of people, because of course, this isn't going to be that confidential. This will have been gossiped about. It will have been talked about. It will have been leaked. Then there becomes this, adding to the toxicity of these types of workplaces, assumption that the accused did engage in a behavior like this, and it negatively affects their reputation, whether it's a light slap on the wrist or not.
Yeah, and I would actually go further than that. Even if nothing comes of it, the idea that you've been grieved still is a matter of record. It's a matter of human memory, maybe not officially in your record, to say nothing of how many hours you're going to have to spend to prepare, taking your eye off the ball of performance. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but look, if somebody files a grievance, even if the grievance is found to be not substantial enough, not mm-hmm. material enough to warrant anything, there's no formal record in their file about the grievance. But something that's a light slap on the wrist could be captured in your file. And even if it isn't captured in your personnel file, your HR file or whatever, it will be known once the process is complete, confidentiality will end and everyone will know that you lost. And your boss certainly will as well.
It just, again, leads to negative impacts in relationships, in network, in the office around the person who was the accused, whether any of this actually happened or not. And that's part of why we suggest that you really do rigorously engage, defend yourself, and always do so completely politely, respectfully, yes, to the process, to the interviewer, because there's I almost said risk, but I mean danger here. And really, being grieved, even for a simple misunderstanding, is a serious issue for managers. The process isn't what your organization says it is, based on our experiences. Having a weak or apolitical boss could doom you to, at best, a neutral outcome. Too many HR professionals, though probably not a majority, though that's a tepid comfort.
Right.
See this as an opportunity to play judge and jury, and many will not weigh that heavily enough in their own mind.
Yeah.
Pacific Northwest, Mountain West, Seattle, here we come. Is the mountain out? Okay, I can't see it from here, but I'm hoping it will be October 1st and 2nd when the Manager Tools Effective Manager and Effective Communicator come to Seattle. Join us in Seattle and learn about effective management and communication from one of our speakers. Ask questions and become more effective in your career. Sign up for Seattle at manager-tools.com/training.
Folks, you got to see the process for what it is. Defend yourself vigorously, while at all times politely and even sweetly. If you strive for sweetly, you'll never get near defensive. A finding that goes slightly against you will be mentioned for years in succession planning meetings of your leadership that will be used by other managers to win their people promotions that will then be denied to you. So it gives us no pleasure telling you this, but somebody damn well has to. And so we're willing to take this on and uncover the mold and mildew underneath the rock. And in writing this, I realized there are a couple more topics we need to cover about this. We're going to publish further guidance on grievances covering how to communicate with a complainant who works for you after the investigation, depending upon the outcome, and how, if you're an executive, you can involve yourselves in one of your manager's defenses while still not trotting too heavily over confidentiality. And that's it.
Thanks so much, Mark.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like that one. All right, good. Thanks, Kate.
That's all for this week, folks. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, y'all.